I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left, you go right.
All right, it's Monday night here on the download, so that means touché.
Touche!
Touche! Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, they are Touche panelists. They are here every Monday night to assess, debate, argue, complain about the presidential campaign and what we have here in 2016. Chris, Dave, good to see you guys. How are you?
Good to see you, Justin. It's, happy rainy, rainy Monday night.
Good to be back.
Good to have. Last week we had Professor Lipson, and he said, we'll start right away, that and I want to say some, I want to challenge some of the things he said. He said that the only way that Trump wins is if he can get Hillary Clinton in a scandal, meaning if they can bring up.
I don't think that's true. I think Trump is a phenomenon. I think Hillary is weighed down by her own scandals. I think that people want to change. It's not any sort of cut it out.
I'm looking at my watch and waiting in how many seconds it's going to take before you say indictment.
You know, Hillary is weighed down by her scandals, and I am here to tell you Trump's going to win this election.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think we're looking at a major, major victory. And I'm not a Trump guy. I wasn't a Trump guy. I was encouraging people not to vote for Trump. But you know what? The primary voters have spoken. And I think members of the GOP establishment who want to say it's not good enough what the primary voters chose are asking for trouble. They're the ones who are going to cause the loss in November. And there are folks who've been talking about, quote, running away, unquote, from Trump. That's crazy. You don't run away from a guy who has come from Nowheresville, who is unusual as heck, vanquished 16 of our best. He's now the presumptive nominee. You work with the guy. You try and smooth over these horrible edges he's got. But he is going to go to the White House.
Dave Lundy.
I agree that I would strongly encourage every Republican office holder and wannabe office holder and candidate around the country to wrap yourselves around Donald Trump as tightly as you can. Nothing would give Democrats greater pleasure than to see you do that. Because here's the thing. I know my friend Chris is really trying to come to terms with the candidate who he knows is absolutely anathema. A guy who really has no clue about the world and has so little interest in policy. One of his advisors was quoted in Politico saying, quote, he doesn't want to waste time on policy and thinks it would make him less effective on the stump. It won't be until after he's elected, but before he's inaugurated, that he will figure out exactly what he's going to do and who he's going to try to hire.
All right. Chris,
who actually cares about government. That is anathema for
you. Do you want to comment on the what you consider to be the weaknesses in his tax policies? Have you studied the tax
yes.
Paper?
Do you want to comment on the tax policy that he issued before or the fact that over the weekend he said that, well, those aren't really policies. Those are kind of proposals. I know I'm going to have to negotiate. And, well, I didn't really mean the taxes should go down on the up on the wealthy. I meant they shouldn't go up as much. You mean which contradiction would you like me to comment on about his tax policies?
I think the contradiction you need to comment on is the fact that Hillary Clinton looks at this economy and says what's wrong is we're not taking enough money from the American people. What's wrong is we're not regulating enough. What's wrong is we haven't imposed enough burdens on the American economy, especially the small businesses. What's wrong is that so many jobs are being created that, you know, as we slide into this permanent state like Europe, kind of a Euro stagflation state, that what we really need is more government bureaucrats talking about more new regulations and higher taxes. And so I think that she is on the wrong side of the economy and of the regular American folks who are out there saying, whatever Obama was up to, it didn't help me.
That would be the Euro stagflation without either the stag, which meant stagnation, or the flation, which meant inflation. We don't have inflation. And in case you haven't noticed, we've had 74 consecutive months of private sector job growth. In fact, it's a record
that Europe wishes
they had.
110,000. This is the weakest recovery in the history of economic statistics. And there's no, you cannot jawbone around that.
Other than every industrial economy outside of the U.S.
No, we're talking about the United States. This is our weakest recovery ever. And Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have to account for that. And that's why she's going to lose and Trump is going to win. And Trump is going to win this election. And I'm looking at 37, 38, 41 states, no problem.
But Chris, let me ask. Ooh. Let me just ask, you know, as we, I mean, that's a,
I sense a bet coming.
I know,
here.
I was going to say, I like that we're recording this because we'll use this. But you know, I'm fascinated by the Paul Ryans and right. the GOP, you know, sort of establishment that has distanced themselves.
Right.
Even the Illinois, I mean, just in the last week, seen Rauner, like, I'm not going to Cleveland. We had Chairman Cronin on who was like, hey, that's not my guy.
Right.
I mean, what
he's not
you
my
say?
Guy. Here, you know, I think that Paul Ryan, talk about policy, Paul Ryan lives and breathes it. Paul Ryan is standing up for the fact that he was budget committee chairman. He was one of the few guys to really understand the intricacies of Obamacare. He's now the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. A top promise of Barack Obama, completely ignored, completely forgotten, completely broken with the American people, was to address entitlement reform. And instead, what Obama did was double our national debt. So a guy like Paul Ryan says, hey, look, we got to address this stuff. And frankly, Donald Trump has made some non-Republican, from his Democrat days, he has these, you know, sort of acid flashbacks, and he comes up with this, we're not going to talk about entitlement reform. Well, wait a minute. A guy like Paul Ryan's got to blow the whistle, throw a flag on the field, stop play for a moment and say, Donald, let's talk. That's great. That's exactly what needs to happen. I'm not afraid of that. I'm encouraging that. I think that the Pat Bradys and the Dan Cronins and the Bruce Rauners of the world, I encourage all of these guys to talk to Trump constructively and to get him tuned in to what somebody who is the governor of a major state like Illinois is facing every morning, that he wakes up and mm-hmm. goes to work under the yoke of oppression that is put on him by Mike Madigan and Dave Lundy.
The yoke of oppression.
Dave Lundy.
I did not create that oppression. And I don't really like eggs, so leave your yolks alone. Look, I think that it's nice for Chris to try to spin this little tale, and I'm so glad we have on tape 38, 39, 40 states, easy, that Donald Trump is going to win. But when you come down to actually looking at these states, what you're finding is that the polling in normally safe Republican states right now is tied, or Hillary Clinton is in the lead. Arizona, Georgia, my God, even Utah. Now, do I believe that Hillary is going to win Utah in the fall? No, she's not going to win Utah in the fall. I don't even know if she's going to win Georgia in the fall. But Arizona, where you've got 30% Latinos, yep, you bet. And when you start to look at the map of the states that Democrats have won the last six consecutive elections, you're already at 242 electoral votes. Trump's got to win Florida. And you got to take a state in Florida where right now she's up by like 15 points.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy. Touche here on Touché. The download. Touche. When we come back, let's talk about how Trump nomination plays as it trickles down to some of the races, including here in Illinois, the race for Senate. Mark Kirk, one of the Republicans who's distanced himself from Donald Trump. We'll continue the conversation here on Touche on the download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
There you go. Touche. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy arguing about Donald Trump today on this episode of Touche. All right, so let's pick it up.
And next. And whatever.
I'm excited. I mean, you know what? For all the fun we had a lot of fun in the primaries.
Yes.
So we're starting to see that it's going to be Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders, a little outside chance.
No, not really.
But the
because
idea,
they're not running a Democratic primary.
Yeah, there you go, right? So now, I mean, I feel like, you know, this is the meat. We have
yes.
the appetizer. This is the meat. This summer's, this is where you guys are going to make your money. All the money that we give you.
From your lips.
Right, right. All right, so let's talk about the one issue that keeps coming up for down ballot Republicans who are running for statewide office, for, you know, for Senate, for
right.
House.
The sheriff candidate, yeah. You know, all these
They're things. Worried that, I mean, at least on, I mean, from what we hear, that they're not going to do well with Donald Trump as a nominee. Chris.
I wonder why they're saying that. And I know there are a lot of polls out there and things like that. It is early as heck. And Trump has shown he's a very adept campaigner. There is a lot more going on in this campaign than people are, you know, want to describe. And it is reflective, I think, of a heck of a lot of planning and a heck of a lot of thought on his part. So when David says he doesn't know what he's doing, you know, I accept that in the jocularity of his moment. But the fact is, this is a guy who has lived by planning. We are in the shadow, if there was any sun out today, of a $450 million investment the guy made here in the city of Chicago. And you don't get to top something like that out if you can't make a plan and execute. So he knows what he's doing. He's very serious about this. He's got some horrible, horrible expressions and things like that. There's no question about it. But I think we're going to see those go away. I think that was a part of his differentiation in the primary.
Why do you think that?
And I think that he is going to continue to tap into a generalized resentment of the established order, the status quo. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be a vessel for opposition to things as they are. And I think he's going to get Democrats, Republicans, blacks, Hispanics. I'm predicting he is going to do better with Hispanics than Mitt Romney. I think he'll do better. I'm serious. I think he's going to do better with blacks.
Why do you say that? I mean, after...
Because I have been pulled aside. I was pulled aside by a very well-known former African-American office holder here in the city of Chicago. And she told me, we are going for Trump. We are sick of Hillary. We are going for Trump. She said, do you know why we're going for Trump? I said, might it be because he's a Republican and you've decided to come home to the party of Lincoln? She said, hell no. She said, we're going for Trump because he's talking jobs. And that's all anybody in my neighborhood cares about.
Dave, I mean, that's something that resonates, jobs, and that's what Trump is talking
about. Obviously, she's a Democrat, the person I'm talking to.
Yes, it was implied.
Do you feel like some of the more traditional Democrat voters, the Latino vote, the African-American vote, would cross over to a Donald Trump candidacy?
No. I'd accuse Chris of smoking the hopium, except that's the wrong campaign. But, the idea that Latinos who currently have a nearly 80% negative view of Trump and rising, that African-Americans who have a 90% negative view of Trump and rising, and women who have a 72% and rising. I mean, the thing is, normally what happens after you secure the nomination is you make peace with your party, you bring everybody together, and then you start realizing that politics is ultimately the game of addition. You start adding constituencies and trying to reach out. Remember, what did Donald Trump do on Cinco de Mayo? He tweeted out a photo of him sitting in front of a taco bowl talking about how the best tacos are served at the Trump Tower cafeteria or restaurant or whatever it was. And he said, happy Cinco de Mayo. I love Hispanics. And the internet blew up and everybody's like, this is what he genuinely believes is what passes for communication. And it's not. And instead of softening the edges, as Manafort says, well, he knows he's playing a part. No, he's not. This is him.
So you don't believe that this is some like Chris said, like he knows what he's doing. He's doing it on purpose.
I think he knows what he's doing, but I think he has, you know, it's interesting. Everybody's like, well, but he's so adaptable. You can't pin him down. I'm like, no, he has one gear. And the gear is attack, 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 and make it personal. So what was he doing in the last 48 hours? He's going after Bill Clinton. And he's going after Bill Clinton and launching into these tirades about Bill Clinton. And I'm like, look, if you want to relitigate the early 90s, you know, go ahead. But that's actually not what people care about. People do care about jobs. Chris is right. But Hillary Clinton's going to be all over the job. She's going to be all over the issues.
She's had 8 years, 7.5 years with
as
the Obama administration.
State.
Well, yeah. What has she got to show for it? I mean, she is going to, this is the fundamental incoherence of the Democratic proposition to the voters this year. Have more of the same, but it won't be the same.
I understand that. And I understand that this would be the year for Republicans to build on that, that argument.
Right.
But is it going to be tougher with a candidate with Donald Trump who doesn't articulate that as well as, say, a more polished politician?
We say more polished politician in a framework that we had the day before Trump announced. Okay. And the whole point about this, the whole point about our politics today, the whole point about the gravity of the issues that are facing us domestically, is that everything has changed. I think everything has changed. I think that things are so bad now for so many people not even turning up to look for work that the Democrats are just they don't have anything to say. And that's reflected by the fact that they don't even have a campaign over there on their side. They just have a coronation. And Hillary,
you're on the wrong, Chris, you lost your place. That was the message from 9 months ago. But then we had Bernie Sanders. That was not a coronation. No.
You yourself said 7 months ago, we want a challenge, but not a serious one. You said that on another radio show. Which
I did.
We're never on other radio shows together, Justin.
Right, it's only
dang.
You, Justin. We never cheat
on
you,
Justin. We let that cat out of the bag. But you said we want a challenge, but not a meaningful one. And what you got was a meaningful one. And that just proves the point that Sanders and Trump are both reflective of a generalized antipathy towards the established order, also known as the status quo.
Will that status quo, though, will that sort of malaise or you know, will
anger.
That continue into the general? I mean, at a certain point, like, does a Bernie Sanders voter who did not win go, you know what, I'm still going to exercise my right, I'm going to vote? You see a Bernie Sanders.
I see the Bernie Sanders people sitting on their hands. I don't think they're going to be motivated by it. And when she comes down on the side of Wall Street the way that she has, I think they are running for the exits.
What about a Ted Cruz supporter who has no interest in a Donald Trump?
I think by the time, look, the folks who are saying that Trump is unacceptable to be thought of at the same, you know, cerebellum as one thinks of the presidency are the ones who said that Ronald Reagan would cause World War III. So what Ronald Reagan did was end the Cold War. OK, so they were wrong then. They're wrong now. They don't get it. They weren't in touch then. They're not in touch now. And Hillary, when you talk about jobs, I honestly, David has been citing these, you know, 211,000 jobs, you know, created. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What did we have under Reagan? But more importantly, what did we have last month? 110,000. And this is on a base of people who are so dispirited by Barack Obama's strangulation of our economy, they've stopped even looking.
Roebling's fired up. Lundy.
He's fired up. He's ready to go. Unfortunately, his horse that he's got to ride is named Donald J. Trump. Look, I am not underestimating the Donald Trump threat. I think Donald Trump will be a serious threat. I think it's going to be the most negative campaign in history. And we'll see if Hillary has figured out kind of the how do you manage when Trump is insulting you? What do you do? Because none of the Republicans could figure it out. I mean, it was amazing watching one after the other. Who would think that an insult like, oh, he's so low energy, would totally turn the front runner for the nomination into mush? I mean, it was ridiculous watching how these guys apparently forgot how you fight on the playground. Hillary Clinton has been fighting on the playground for decades, and she knows how to take a punch.
Yeah.
I'm quite confident that she has. And so far, what she's doing in response to him launching the nasty insults is masterful. And it's really fantastic. And by the way, in terms of the Bernie Sanders, well, look, I've said on this show also, I think that it's overstated the amount of Republicans who won't vote for Trump and the amount of Democrats who won't vote for Clinton. I think that is overstated. I think they have a bigger problem than we do. But on the Bernie Sanders side, when Elizabeth Warren starts getting out there every day and talking about how great Hillary is and why Hillary Clinton's got to be the nominee, or why Hillary Clinton has to get elected, Bernie Sanders is going to do that?
You're talking about a woman who created a Native American background in her genealogy so she could scam into a job at Harvard Law School.
Chris is transferring his psyche into the Trump insult machine.
Well, I mean, it's
dude,
true.
Dude, you're really adopting is Trump as
is
the standard
Is it true
bearer.
Or not? Did she claim to be a Native American or did she not? What did
it's
she do?
It's irrelevant.
No, it's totally relevant because it shows the lack of
the
character of the Elizabeth
Warren
crowd.
The question was about Bernie Sanders voters, and Bernie Sanders voters
they have a hell of a lot more integrity than Elizabeth Warren.
I love it. All right.
Senator Hiawatha from, you know, Newburyport, Massachusetts. Speaks.
This is like the end of Rocky III. We're like, oh my god, look at this round three.
They both look terrible.
This ain't so bad.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, they are the panel Touche. They meet every Monday here on The Download. It's great to have you guys. This is going to be a fun summer,
Baby.
See you soon.